I'm joined in studio, I'm happy to say, by Liam Horn of Slieno Careers. Liam, welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much, Tommy.
Thank you very much for coming in to see us. Liam, in relation to the society we're living in now, it seems to be that there is a lot of positivity coming through in the media in recent, we'll say, days and perhaps weeks. The cynic might start looking at it and say, we're heading towards elections. The person who is looking for a chink of light at the end of the tunnel might say, we'll take what we can get and maybe it'll be a self-fulfilling process, even if it is there by cynicism. You're working in the area of working with, of dealing with people who are searching for new careers, searching for jobs. What's your impression of what's going on and how is it sitting on the ground, as it were?
I suppose it's a very, very broad observation. The first thing I would say is that if you go to job searching without some positive dimension to what you're doing, you are doomed to failure. And that's very easy to say, and for a lot of people, very hard to achieve. I think, you know, John O'Donoghue, who wrote Annam Cora, the great late lamented spiritual writer, talked about a thing called styles of vision. And to those who want to see negativity, there will be negativity. To those who want to see positivity, there will be positivity. I think there are lots of things happening, believe it or not. I think I may have said to you in this programme before, I think there are worse times to be stuck in Ireland in a very bad recession because of the whole opportunity presented by internet, online and all of that. And I have picked up what you're saying, slightly more optimistic, optimistic, I suppose, vibes coming through in the media. Really, in some ways, the media is a very funny animal in that its positivity built the boom. Its negativity, to a certain extent, may have brought the worst of may have amplified the recession. And maybe its positivity is now going to lift people back out a little bit again in some ways. But, I think that, there must surely come a time in the life cycle of a recession where people say to themselves, well, you know what? This is the way it is and I better get on with it. And there are studies that show that individually when people are made redundant or some traumatic event happens, it's like a grieving process, which shows that they immediately, first of all, they go into denial, or I'm not exactly sure the chronology of the stages, but denial, anger, depression, stroke, sadness, whatever the phrase may be, before eventually coming to the point of, well, let's do something about it, and hopefully enough everybody gets there. And maybe just as individuals are getting to that point, and maybe society as a whole is getting to that point as well, is that this is the way it is, folks. It's not going to change dramatically any day soon. And, you know, that there is, and you lived in America a long time, there is a view that in America they don't talk about a recession as long as we talk about it here. They don't talk about down as long as they talk about it here. And I was, a colleague of mine is just back from after spending a number of months in America, and he said it's like a different world over there where you go and you see signs up now hiring.
Yes.
And things like that. And, you know, the question
there is a market turn in the US,
yes,
now, right?
Yes. But even before that came, that the Americans don't, I would say as a general observation, we have wallowed in this recession. I think people far too much focus on it, live in it. Even people, I know one particular gentleman whose personal circumstances, as far as I can see, and you can never fully know somebody's circumstance looking in from the outside, but I know them fairly well, have not changed one iota since the recession came in. But his attitude has changed. He's a retired man, semi-retired man, who has a nice few clients to keep him going while he's at.
Right.
I see no evidence other than he's doing as well as he ever was.
Yes.
He's family reared, so there's no change there. I think his mortgage is paid or very nearly paid. But yet he has allowed himself to be slapped in the face by
psychological recession for him.
Yes, it is possibly for him, yes. Now, and again, immediately, obviously, if somebody's listening today saying, well, I haven't worked in 2 years, how dare they say that? I'm speaking very generally here.
Yeah.
But, you know, ultimately, and it's an uncomfortable truth for a lot of people, you must bring the positivity to your job search. Nobody else will do it for you. The employer has plenty of opportunity to pick somebody else. You must bring that. And woe is me is no good in a job search. And that actually comes from a fair in Ballina today. We were just discussing it afterwards.
Right.
Sometimes when you get into unemployment and all of that, and I studied in Maynooth College where they've done a lot of studies on what they call the new unemployed in the last few years. Sometimes people sort of pay you lip service as well and don't want to actually get to the point of, you must do something about this.
Right.
What have you done today about this? And until you confront that and accept that responsibility, you may well be vulnerable to the negativity.
Yeah, I don't want to go off too much on a tangent, but it kind of strikes me that public representatives across the board might feed into that simply because if they turned around and told their constituents, well, it's up to you to get yourself out of this, they'd probably get slammed. And then it's kind of a vicious cycle, I suppose, that it just continues. I wonder, is that, like, we're heading into election time now.
Yeah.
And are we going to hear, you know, a whole load of negativity about what we hope was.
Yes.
And bringing down that the negativity into the vernacular again on a continuous basis for the purpose of projecting yourself out as the candidate.
Yes, there may well be that. And again, you know, people need to still have their own response to that, their own ability to deal with what's happening in the media or what's happening in society as a whole. Yeah. There are people who have never made more money and never done better and never been happier in their careers than in the last 5 years. Of course there are. You know, not everybody... All is not lost.
On that subject, some of the people who are making more money than they've ever made and are happier than they ever, what kind of businesses are we talking about? What areas? That's by way of getting to the point of what areas are hiring? Where should people be looking?
Okay, well, I can just turn the question around a little bit. I met a gentleman last weekend. He's about early 50s, quite IT literate, has gone back to college to reskill himself, but he's probably mid-50s now, I suppose. He has some land to farm as well. So he's happy enough with what he's doing and all that. But he was saying, he was asking me, what would you advise people to do if they were 16 years of age now or 15 years of age? What would you advise them to get into now?
Okay.
And I thought about it because I hadn't been asked the question before. But what I would say is IT skills. And the reason I say that is that particularly when you live in the West of Ireland, if you want to make your living here long term in the West of Ireland, there are bigger markets in suburbs of London than there are in all of Mayo. The internet has reduced the distance between Castlebar and Mayo, or Castlebar and London, or Boston or wherever.
Right.
I would say IT skills, you know, even today I was talking to a gentleman at that fair, I was at Ballina. IT skills now are, if they're not your primary skill, they will certainly be your secondary skill. If they're not the thing you work at, they're the things that help you work at what you work at.
Okay.
More and more and more in the future.
IT skills.
Programming, e-commerce, social media. We see these courses springing up around Mayo and around Ireland overall.
Right.
Companies like CBE and Clare Morris, software programmers. Ironically, a lot of the software companies that I would be in touch with in Galway, for example, find it very hard to get the software programmers they want. There are specialist software skills that are not available in Ireland very easily.
Okay.
I know a gentleman whose speciality is networking of some sort, as in IT networking as opposed to a cup of coffee and how are you doing? And he gets job offers on a regular basis because what he has is so specialist. And I think I do some work in schools, although I'm not trained to work in a career guidance way with children, but I do talks in schools every now and then. And I always ask the question, how many in this room can build a website? Okay. How many in this room could set up a PayPal account and sell a product tomorrow? And it's always very, very few. And that's, I think, is part of the problem. We have people who can do Facebook and do lots of the social media platforms, and that's important too. But there are hard skills like programming, all sorts of IT skills. And there are so many IT platforms out there right now. You know, for example, there's a thing called Prezi, which is like a first cousin of PowerPoint.
Right.
I know a trading area called Elance.com where people every day of the week buy a person to do a Prezi presentation for them or a PowerPoint presentation for them. So there are marketplaces here which are not Market Square Castlebar or Corn Market Ballinrobe. There are marketplaces available to people now that were not available 20, 25 years ago when the last big recession bit.
So the parish pump has become the parish technology pump.
I would think so. And you see it. I mean, down in Achill, Terence Dever runs a training centre in Kiel in Achill, and it's absolutely high tech. St. Coleman's training centre in Mayo Abbey. The amount of work they do there. And Mayo Abbey is the same as Wall Street for IT, you know.
Right.
No one cares where you're based.
IT, is there any other area? What I'm getting at here is, there's a certain part of our society or population that will go wow to IT and say, I don't want to do that. We'll say reskilling. People who are like myself in the midlife, who might be inclined to try and avoid it. What do you say? Do you say, don't be afraid of it, go in and do it? Or do you say, well, here's another way that you can go?
Sales is an area. There's always openings for good salespeople. I had a long discussion with a gentleman today. I've talked about this before on a number of occasions. It's very difficult to get good salespeople. And good salespeople are a particular breed, but it's something that Irish people traditionally would have a facility for because of the gift of the gab kind of thing. That's one area. I also think that people should look at development of their entrepreneurial side. There are ways of making money now. And again, IT might be part of it, but only part of it. Because of the world has opened up market-wise, you can sell your skills in so many different ways. And you needn't be an IT genius to do that. So, for example, I know of somebody who does career counselling by Skype. I know somebody who does general counselling, therapeutic counselling by Skype. There are lots of people who do things, and they're not IT geniuses at all, but they're taking their core skill and they're applying it that way.
Right. Am I pushing this a bit too far by saying that if I'm reading between the lines from what you're saying, we really need to get the reality in our minds, in our psyches, that geographical boundaries are no longer.
Yes, that is one of my key, my sort of central statements or whatever. Yes, absolutely. I think that we live in County Mayo, which is the third biggest county in Ireland, 115,000 population, and all that kind of thing. But I think one of our problems is that we're either not in Dublin, or we're not in Inishbofin, or Inishtork, or out in Clare Island. We're kind of halfway between both.
Right.
And we'd be better in either place. Because if we were in Dublin, we'd have a market on our doorstep.
Yes.
And if we were in Clare Island and the boat wasn't running.
Yes. We'd know that we had to do something else.
Wild and what tall white horses in the bay, as the saw doctor said. We would be forced to do things differently.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I know from my own perspective of running my own business, I frequently try to put myself in the mindset of being in Clare Island. I actually try to put myself in Clare Island as often as I can as well. It's my favourite place in Mayo, probably. But
do you have information to hand? I need to take a commercial break now, but do you have information to hand on tangible opportunities? This is totally contradictory to what we just spoke. Tangible opportunities in Mayo. And we're back. You're on the Grapevine with Tommy Moran here, sitting in for Aidan Crowley and Liam Horn from Schlienoa Careers in the studio. So, Liam, we were beginning to move into actual jobs that are in the area, people that might, companies that might be hiring. Mm-hmm. What's your
well, as I was saying that, I wouldn't have any more insight than people who read the papers, for example, or listen to the radio stations. But I know that Decare Dental have been hiring lately. I believe Allergan put some job notices up maybe internally this week or some sort of, I'm not sure exactly where they did it. There's been a lot of, for people who are involved in SNA teaching, that there's been a lot of opportunity in that lately. A lot of schools in Mayo have been filling posts there, just probably most of them are just filled right now. And other than that, bits here and there. Mayo doesn't have huge individual employers. It's a lot of small industries looking for people. And I wonder, sometimes your foot in the door is not directly via a job application or a job advertisement. I met a lady today who told me she got a job once upon a time by being in an office, an auctioneer's office, actually renting a house and noticing that a lot of dictaphone tapes were left in the to-be-done tray on a Friday afternoon.
Yes.
And she said in passing, she said, they should be done to the auctioneer. It's Friday afternoon. They should be done by now. And he said, well, can you do them? He says, I can. So she started doing them and she got a job out of it, actually. So this is very general stuff.
And we'll walk down the main street of Castlebar now and everyone will be looking in the windows of every solicitor's office in the place.
Looking for, if people, this is very general stuff and, all it takes is one person to ring in and say, well, I tried to get a job, sit up a CV 144 times, I didn't get one. And that's kind of unanswerable in some ways. So I'm not talking that specifically, really. I'm trying to get people to think about their own mindset and, job searching. Getting a job is a job in itself. It's like a project management issue. You need to have definite actions to do every day. There's a company in Galway called Career Bud. You can go out to their website, careerbud.com. They're still in development to a certain extent. But they've created a project management tool that helps you get your job. so what do you do today? I want to get a job in Brafey House. Okay, well, where do you want to work in Brafey House? I want to work on reception. So, okay, who's the manager of Brafey House? I don't know. Find the manager's name. That could be your job for today.
Yeah.
Because people come to job searching and get very overwhelmed. I noticed it today in Ballina, the room of the Carolyn Newman Institute was chock-a-block with people and with stands. There are a number of people said to me, when I came in here today, I got kind of like a wave washing over them, because all of a sudden you have thousands of brochures coming at you. Further education, everybody pushing stuff on you to a certain extent or whatever, and it can be overwhelming. So we often need help to navigate tough areas. So making a plan. Do people have a job searching plan? How long do you spend writing your CV? Do you tweak your CV every time it goes out?
Right.
Application forms, do you just fill them in willy-nilly? Not to be confused with Willie Nally, who played for Mayo in the famous 81 victory over Galway. He caught everything that day.
So it's a lot of common sense stuff.
It really is, but common sense may not be that common. It's more that people have never had to really apply their skills to something like this. Like, salespeople have structures for sales. They have follow-up systems with their diaries and all sorts of things. When you're looking for a job, you must have some kind of framework that you're operating within. Because otherwise, you just get demoralized. I mean, you know, the other thing as well is, and I've seen this on a number of occasions, the quality of your speculative punt on the organization you're trying to get into is absolutely crucial. Absolutely crucial. If you just drop in a CV, you're just one more person dropping in a CV. But if you actually put in your cover letter, I have looked at your company's website, I have noticed that you're expanding in this area, I see you're trying this, did you ever try this? Here's an idea that might work for you. When you engage with the employer, particularly SMEs, when you engage with them at a level about their business that others don't engage with them, it almost becomes like mentoring for the business person. I've experienced that. I've experienced that on a number of occasions. Somebody I was talking to today talked about SME people are looking for mini-me's. They're looking for a version of themselves almost.
Yes.
So look at the business owner and say, okay, what do they do? What do they bring to the party? How can I do some of that for them? And really engage. It's the easiest thing in the world to walk around Castlebar today and give out 30 CVs. It's much harder to walk around Castlebar and give out one CV. Put a proper CV or a proper cover letter or make a proper hit on, rather than just going into every shop on Main Street, pick out your shop and say, right, I can bring something there and do a proper hit on that shop. And then you may show what value you bring. And people need to be as strategic as that about it.
And when you say shop, I presume you mean business organisation,
yes,
whatever it is.
Yes, I think I might have told you the story before. I'm just going to think now, we're over 3 years in business. We've been, about a year ago, we were working in probably slightly less high profile, slightly lower profile locations. And nobody ever came in the door with a CV looking for a job. They came in and looked at their CVs fixed by us. So all around houses, our industrial estates around a town like Castlebar, there are people working upstairs in places that no one knows anything about. What are they looking for? Might only be 3 hours a week to get started. You might just give them a hand doing their books to get started. But when people get you in the door and develop a relationship, they don't really want you to go out the door. You know, they've invested time in you. They don't want you to go away next week if you can bring value to them. So there's a whole lot more. Martin Reddington, who's within your catchment area here from Brafey, had a phrase when the recession came in first. I'm not sure it was his own or to read it somewhere. Basically, don't look for a job, look for a customer. To get into a kind of like a sales mentality yourself, where what am I going to bring to this company? What can I sell them that they need and bring value to them?
So you're selling yourself?
Correct.
And that's the catchphrase for today. Go out and sell yourself.
Exactly. Don't take it too literally. That's it's highly illegal.
Yeah, it's interesting though that the approach you're saying there, that you find, rather than blanket distribute CVs, find one, send it out with purpose, direct it.
Correct.
With research behind it.
Correct.
And make a well-tailored hit.
Correct.
And then go from there.
If people want to read more on this, there's a very interesting book called What Colour Is My Parachute? It's by an American writer called Richard Bowles, B-O-L-L-E-S. He updates it every year. It's in 40 years on the go now. He's lived through all sorts of manifestations of our economies and that. And it's very, very interesting. He talks about this kind of thing. He challenges people quite a lot. If you want to get some information from us, which isn't as tailored in that regard as his, email getthatjob@sleenewackcareers.com. We'll send them a number of ebooks and things like that by return of email. And we are We have worked on some job searching stuff. We intend to do more of that kind of thing. But right. What Colour Is My Parachute? It's a good book to read.
Where is if people would like to do it the old-fashioned way and drop in the door, where is your office?
We're on Glebe Street, Ballinrobe. Or they can email us, obviously.
Or check it out. Google it. I'm sure it'll come up.
Sinu@careers.com. We're on Glebe Street, Ballinrobe. Yeah.
Lovely. Liam Horan.
094-95-42965.
Lovely job. Liam Horan from Sleen O'Careers. Careers, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks yourself, Tommy, and thank you for regularly featuring issues like this. I think it is important. I felt when the recession came in, the media should have done more help and guidance for people who are in job searching mode.
Well, we'll do what we can.